Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Welcome back. We return now to the power of Shabbos and the importance of preparation, part two. This is Siman Ayin Beis, the 72nd chapter in the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. We looked last time at the four concepts: the gravity of keeping Shabbos, the preparing for Shabbos, things to refrain from in Erev Shabbos, and Shnai Mikrov Echad Targum. Today we're going to look at three concepts: that is, washing before Shabbos, getting into the right mood, and heating food from Erev Shabbos. Let's jump straight into our learning together. So we look at our first concept today, which is washing before Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to wash, to shower, to bathe on Erev Shabbos in preparation for Shabbos. So what should I wash? Minimally, face, hands, and feet. Optimally, the full body. Today it's much easier to do this. The standard house in a first world country includes a shower, a bath. These are easy things to do. It wasn't the same thing in those days. In those days, people would often have to go to the wash house in order to be able to achieve this. Some of the custom are going to the mikveh every Erev Shabbos as well. So in the old days, when there were public bathhouses, are there any restrictions about using them? The answer is yes. There are certain basic things for a man to avoid bathing with one's father-in-law, stepfather, or brother-in-law, unless the people bathed in a covered-up, in a modest fashion as well. It's not appropriate to be unclothed in front of close family members like that as well. What about what cleansing must be done on Erev Shabbos? So what other cleansing? So one should cut one's hair if necessary. One should clean one's hair, certainly, and one needs to cut one's nails as necessary as well. What are the rules for nail cutting? Just a few basics. One should not cut fingernails and toenails on the same day. One should not cut on Rosh Chodesh, and one should not cut on Thursdays. The idea being that it starts growing on the third day, and one doesn't want to start that the process of the regeneration of the nails starts primarily on Shabbos as well. And finally, one should not cut in a straight row, so rather one skips fingers. So on the right hand, one goes a finger 2, 4, 1, 3, 5. On the left hand, 4, 2, 5, 3, 1. The point is that it's not in a straight order as well. What should be done with the cut nails? The Ketzer Shulchan Aruch suggests burning them. Today it's easy just to flush them down the toilet, but one should not leave them lying around on the floor. There's a Kabbalistic reason, there's also a practical reason. If there would be a pregnant woman around, she would step on it, and it could cause her to fall, to have a fright, and God forbid miscarry. And so that's also just a practical safety reason as well. What should be done after nail cutting or hair cutting? So always there's netilas yadayim. One should be doing after those particular activities as well. let's discuss getting into the right mood for Shabbos. So the Ketzer points out, Yishtadal shiyula begodim na'im. Person should have nice clothes. Gam talis shel mitzvah na'a lichvot Shabbos. For man, they should have their own talis for Shabbos as well. And because the Torah says, Ki bad toy, you will make it honorable. Should not be the same clothing as well. The Rambam, when he describes this in the Halachas of Shabbos, in Hilchos Zmanim, on the 30th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam describes that some people would be mishalshel. They had these long coats that they had to roll up during the week to work for practice, for, you know, labor that they used to be involved in. On Shabbos, they didn't need labor, so they would unfurl their coats and wear these longer coats on Shabbos. They didn't even have enough for a second round of clothing, but they would at least unfurl them in a way that it was special for Shabbos as well. We live in a society, thank God, where it's a lot easier to get hold of clothes. Now, what if I'm among the non-Jews? Do I still dress up for Shabbos? The answer is yes. You don't wear Shabbos clothes to the non-Jews. You wear them for the honor of Shabbos as well. And it's amazing to think about this, what the Ketzer would have said were he to see sometimes the way that people dress or undress on Shabbos when it comes to the way they treat Shabbos. Shabbos is a very special thing. We should be so, so privileged and act in such a way that it's a privilege in the way that we dress relating to Shabbos as well. What else should I do in preparation for Shabbos? It's best to do, says the Ketzer, a cheshbon hanefesh, meaning to say a personal diary, looking at the things that one did throughout the course of that week. Why is that? The answer is because Erev Shabbos is seen as the capstone of the whole week. So I look back and I try to figure out what it was I did or did not do correctly throughout the course of the week. What else should I do in preparation for Shabbos? So one needs to check one's pockets for if there's no eruv, one has to obviously be careful about carrying anything. But similarly, also might just be mukta items that are in one's coat, in one's pockets, and one has to be careful about that. Any last reminders in the house? The answer is yes. One should generally have a reminder that around candle lighting time, the candles should be lit.
Yeah, I mean, most places, that's 18 minutes before sunset. In Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh is around 40 minutes before sunset. But there should be some sort of reminder, which is done gently, to ensure that Shabbos is brought in early with Tosefes Shabbos, with addition to Shabbos. We look at our last concept now, and that is heating foods from Erev Shabbos. So people want hot food for Shabbos. And it's a mitzvah to have onik Shabbos, to have hot food on Shabbos. Not peanut butter and jelly, just like that. However, there's an Isra Bishul. One cannot cook food on Shabbos. So what people do is they cook food from before Shabbos. How do you ensure it's hot on Shabbos? So we run up against a few rabbinic enactments which are there to be guide rails so we don't arrive at other concerns on Shabbos like Bishul or Havara or lighting a flame. So and they are, the ones we can deal with right now very briefly, are Hatmana, which is fully wrapping an item on Erev Shabbos to maintain its heat, and number two, Shehiya, leaving an item which is not fully cooked on an open flame from Erev Shabbos onto Shabbos as well. So the Kisra goes about this in a somewhat circuitous route. We're just going to try to get some of the basics. Can I leave a pot of food on coals? Like, let's say I have coals and I put the food in the coals from Erev Shabbos. No, the Kisra says no. There are two concerns. One is, if I move it, then I'll move the coals when I lift up the pot. And number two is that there's a concern of stoking the coals if it isn't hot enough in time for the meal, and so I should refrain from doing this as well. What if I mistakenly left the pot on the coals? In this case, I may ask a non-Jew to remove it in this case, and then it'll be sufficient as well. Now, the more practical case, in our case, I'm just going to reframe this in the way that we deal with this today, is if I want my food hot on Friday night, how can I set it up? So, one can only leave unfully cooked food on a heat source, if the heat source is what's called Gorif Vakatum in the language of the Mishnah, which means that the coals were removed or covered so that I won't come to the problem of adjusting the heat if it isn't ready in time for the meal. In the times of the Gemara, that was removing the coals or covering them. In the times of the Kisra Shulchan Aruch, that means sealing the oven, so putting some sort of like seal over the opening of the oven so that I would not stick my hand in and not put in poke the fire to make sure that it gets ready faster. For today, this means that an oven cannot be adjustable. So that itself is a discussion as to what that really means. Does it mean that the dials need to be inaccessible, or that the actual element needs to be inaccessible? Meaning, do you need to cover the dials or the element? Because you see, in the old days, the coals were the heat source and the place you adjusted it. Today, we have the dials which do the adjusting, and the element which changes its temperature based on its resistance, based on the instructions you give it from the dials. So which of those two are the ones, which of those two is it? So we actually try to do both. So in order to arrive at Gorif Vakatum, at the situation where it's not adjustable, needs to be that the item that I'm using cannot be adjusted through its dials, and that its element is covered as well. So when it comes to, let's say, a hot tray, if I have a hot tray which has no dials, so just plug it in and it's on, plug it out, it's off. Or I'd remove the dial and I cover it with foil. That'd be sufficient if the food, even if the food is not fully cooked, leaving from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos itself. Similarly, if I have a warming drawer, and let's say the warming drawer is in Shabbos mode, so I can't use the dials, or I cover the dials and I cover the inside with foil, that'd also be sufficient to leave food from Erev Shabbos. When it comes to an oven itself, There are those who understand that an oven itself is always used to cook, so it's very complicated to achieve this. Whereas others say no, if the items are fully cooked, and you cover and it's in Shabbos mode, and so you can't adjust the dials and the light is on the whole time, so you're not going to switch on by opening the door. That's sufficient if you leave the food from Erev Shabbos onto Shabbos as well. So these are just some of the options that exist when it comes to achieving this notion of what's called Shehiya, which is leaving something from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. Notice that we've not talked about putting something in the oven, on the tray, on the blech, on Shabbos itself, from the fridge to the blech. That we did not discuss. We're only talking right now about Erev Shabbos to Shabbos itself. Finally, if let's say I have no heat source, but I want to keep a pot of coffee hot so I can use it over Shabbos, can I put it into, let's say, a hole or a container, and I cover it with sand or cloth are all around it to keep it warm? The answer is no, that's Shehiya. I may cover it halfway, leave air, and then close the top of the container, but this way it's not fully wrapped. Even if I wrap the outer container, but if there's air around the actual coffee pot itself, at the top part, that is sufficient to have avoided the issue of Hatmana. We'll deal with some of these issues more explicitly, more candidly, Be'ezra Hashem, when we get to some of the melachos of Bishul when we study Shabbos in greater depth. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.